You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to a new episode of Delirious Nomads, brought to you by Blacklight Media Records, a weekly podcast hosted by yours truly, celebrity chef Chris Santos. I hate calling myself that. And underground metal connoisseur Matt Bacon, who loves being called that. This is your new favorite podcast for all things heavy metal, as well as breakdowns of your favorite combat sports and riffing on some food talk every week with very special guests from across the globe.
Hello and welcome to the Delirious Nomads podcast. I'm your host, Matt Bacon. Chris is not with us this week, unfortunately, but we do have a very good friend of mine and an incredible artist on the label Blacklight Media, which makes this whole podcast possible, Mark Gaffney, or Gaff from Gozu. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Matt?
I'm doing good.
Wonderful.
You have a new album coming out. Tell us about it.
We do. So the name of the album is Remedy. It was recorded at Wild Arctic with Dean Baltalonis. So he engineered, recorded, and produced it. And then Ryan Williams mastered it for us. I think by far it's sonically the best album that we have done. We had our single drop last month, Tom Cruise Control, which seems to be going really well. And then we just had our second single, drop Clouds. And the response, has been super. So we're really excited about it.
How do you think this record was an evolution on the previous work of Gozu? You said it was the best sounding record, but I feel like from a songwriting perspective, it's kind of taken a few leaps and bounds.
Yeah, I think when everything was kind of kiboshed with COVID, I wrote a ton of tunes and so did Duck. And then, so this time when we went in, we had a lot of songs under our belt. So we were kind of able to choose which ones we wanted and which ones, we would keep. But I really think having, Seth, our new drummer in the band, that kind of reinvigorated us. He's one of those guys. He's incredibly technical, but incredibly groovy. So I think, from the very first time we played, we're like, all right, boys, this young guy's going to show us up. So we really need to step up our game. So I think, he really kind of breathed a new life into us. And I think, we really, because, what he was playing, I think is what the three of us have always heard in our head. You know what I mean? So I think, writing was easier with him. Recording was a lot easier. He was so excited to do it. His excitedness really kind of rubbed off on us. And I think, the stuff that we wrote, he had like some amazing ideas. And I think that, that kind of, got Joe going, got Doug going, got myself. So I think, I found really kind of writing over what he was playing, and especially like lyrically, it was really, really easy to sing over, to be honest with you. He made really from a vocal and a lyricist, point, maybe kind of really put forth like my best foot. And I think like, vocally, this is probably the best sounding album I've done. And I think really lyrically too, I wanted something that was catchy, with like sing along choruses and stuff. And so, I think we were able to achieve that. I think, Doug's playing on this album is the best that he's done. He came in, with a lot of things kind of knowing what he wanted to do, knowing, how many tracks and things like that. And I think by far, rhythm wise with, Joe and Seth, it's by far the best sounding and the tightest, album and songs that, you know, that we've done. It just, you know, it was one of those things where once we got in, you know, everything kind of worked itself out. I mean, it was actually a really, really easy album to record. I think because we really would, you know, we shed these tunes, you know what I mean? We just played them and played them and played them. Drums were done in a day and a half. We started guitars on the second day. Usually, you know what I mean? Drums are taking the whole 3 days, you know what I mean? So getting off on such a positive start, you know what I mean? There was nowhere to go but up. I think that, you know, and it was fun. You know what I mean? Everyone, like, enjoyed it. You know, I was having a discussion last night. This is really kind of one of those first albums when everyone was like, hey, you want to try this? Or what about this? Where before, you know, I think sometimes we were a little, you know, inhibited. Like, you know, you didn't want to get someone perturbed or something like that. So I think this was the freest album that we recorded also. And it was fun. And I definitely think that shows, you know, when someone is looking at, you know what I mean? But I think sonically it's huge. And I think a lot of that is, you know, is because we know what we want to do. But I also think Dean, you know, who engineered and produced it, this is our third album with him. So he also knew, like, okay, we're going to use this amp, you know what I mean? You know, and I'm going to run it through these two amps, through these cabs, even like regarding pedals and things. You know, it's like, let's try this and whatever one works, let's hammer it. So we had that. And then we also had sounds really kind of that we were all thinking that we really wanted to you know, make sure that it was evident on these. So everything just kind of clicked, you know what I mean? And it just, instead of like messing stuff up, like if we got that sound, right, let's attack, let's go after it. So it was, you know, the four of us and him really being like, okay, that sounded kill. Let's try this on top of it, you know, or what do you guys think about trying this? There's definitely stuff on this album that we've never tried before. And I think like with the writing and stuff too, you know, especially like, you know, there's some definitely things I don't think we ever, you know, thought about doing before. You know, there's some stuff that is really, really like soul influence. You know, it's one like, first you hit it, you know, so things like that, very like Isley Brother-esque. So it was just one of those things where we felt free enough to try kind of whatever, you know, popped in our head. And, you know, and luckily it worked. So, you know, it was, I don't know, something. So all the stars aligned when we did this album, you know what I mean? And it just was it's kind of one of those things where it was meant to be. You know, I really think Seth joining this band was meant to be, you know what I mean? I think working with Dean, I think another reason why it sounds so kill is, you know, I think Ryan, you know, mastering it did an amazing job. So, you know, everything just kind of fell in place. Like I was completely in awe when he was like, hey, do you mind if I master this album? I was like, shit. You know, especially like Doug and Joe are huge Black Dahlia fans. And, you know, so I think knowing that he was going to have a hand in it too, really kind of upped everyone's playing also, you know what I mean? So it was one of those things where there's kind of respect, but there's also like, you really want to make, you know, the label proud and things like that, and you want everyone that's working on it. So I think in this album we wanted to really just put forth the best, you know, like everything from drum wise, right, from you know, from how we mix the album to harmonies, you know what I mean, to layering, to different melodies that we thought of. You know, we just wanted everyone that was involved to be proud of the album, and hopefully we did that. I think we did.
That's really cool. There's a lot in that answer. You know, so you're talking about Seth coming into the band and how that kind of changes the game a little bit. And I think it's interesting how that happens, how getting the right guy just makes you level up. So you were saying, you know, he came in with ideas and obviously he's the new guy. Did that feel natural when he started bringing in those ideas? Or were you at first like, oh, wait, what? Before it sort of...
Completely natural. I think it's more to do with the kind of person he is. He's one of those guys, if he's coming in, he's thought about it. You know what I mean? And he's doing it for the good of the song. You know, he's not doing it because of ego or anything like that. He's one of those guys, if we were like, just play a tambourine in the song, he'd be like, okay, if that's going to make the song sound better, I'll just play a tambourine. You know what I mean? So his ideas were great. He would try everything, which is great. Like, I remember being like, dude, can you do like a circular pattern? And each time, like, you know, add a fill, just see if you can do it. And the kid absolutely destroyed it. And we were like, okay, so it's the comfort level, you know, where it's just like, oh, dude, can you try this? And he'd be like, yeah, if it worked, great. If not, so be it, you know what I mean? But just that, you know, being able to just toss out ideas and someone just kind of running with it was amazing.
And it's cool because you hadn't played any shows with him by the time you recorded.
We played one show in Brooklyn. That's all.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, the kid went from doing a show into the studio.
Which is a big leap.
That's a huge leap, man. Yeah. Yeah. Because usually, you know, you want to like road test some stuff live, but it's like, okay, here we go. You ready? It's like, all right, we're going in. So, you know, it just shows, you know, when people are pro, they get it done. You know?
When they're pro. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, we were lucky to get them.
You and I have always kind of bonded over our non-metal listening.
Yeah.
One of the things to me that's really special about Gozu is that you're kind of a stoner heavy band, but your influences aren't really Caius. Your influences are like D'Angelo.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
What were you listening to going into this record?
Yeah. So I was listening to a plethora of things, man. So I was listening to like a lot of Roxy music.
Okay.
You know, I was listening to a lot of Sly and the Family Stone, like a shit ton.
Oh, which is incredible.
Yeah, so I was listening to like a lot of Sly. Obviously, D'Angelo, a lot of, you know, Stevie Wonder, a lot of Curtis Mayfield. But then I was also listening to like a lot of the band, you know, harmonies and things like that. You know, songs like It Makes No Difference. A lot of like Neil Young also. I was listening to like a lot of Todd Rundgren for some reason, like a ton of Todd Rundgren before this album. A lot of Isley Brothers.
I met him once buying a hot dog outside of Madison Square Garden. It was very weird.
Oh, Todd Rundgren? Oh.
Yeah.
I think, you know what? I think because tunes like, you know, Saw the Light and Can We Still Be Friends and, you know, some of those, or, you know, like deeper cuts, you know what I mean? Kind of the way that he would lay out his choruses are pretty amazing. But also, you know, kind of some of the call and responses, you know, that he does. For some reason, I just was way, way, way into what he was doing. And so, yeah, it was anything that was like very soulful, melodic. I was listening to all, you know, to that. But, you know, I always go back to, yeah, like the D'Angelo, the Stevie Wonder. You know, I was listening to like a bunch of Crosby, Stills and Nash. Roxy music, I think, because I love the way like that, you know, Ferry would always do shit like, oh, stuff like that. You know what I mean? Or, you know, like on Slave to Love, some of those harmonies, they're straight up, you know, like so soul inspired. So, you know, I was really looking for, you know, vocalists that I love and really thinking like, okay, so why do I like these people? You know what I mean? And just really kind of like letting my mind kind of like getting those zones, you know what I mean? And just trying like different things. I think that because definitely being comfortable, but this album, I really wanted kind of those influences to kind of shine. Especially, yeah, a ton of the Sly and the Family Stone. But then I also found myself listening to like a lot of Alice in Chains, you know what I mean? Things like that. And then you know, a ton of like, you know, kind of to go back with the band, like, I really was thinking like how like Lee Vaughn, you know, Rick Danko and Richard Manuel, like they're one of my favorite bands by far, you know, how they would meld all those voices together. So, you know, I was very, you know, cognizant of that. So just really, I wanted things to be, to have that precise layering, but also, you know, to have like a very, you know, human-esque feeling to them. But yeah, you know, it was just one of those things where I kind of, when I would drive, you know, to the studio, I just, the whole time would just be tunes. Just, I would literally just be like, okay, just like have stuff kind of, not on a loop, you know what I mean? But definitely, you know, I'd listen to like Voodoo and then I'd listen to like Inner Visions. Then I'd listen to like Dirt, you know what I mean? Then I would listen to like, you know, The Big Pink. I think this album, I listened to probably the most music I ever have.
Interesting.
You know, definitely with like, you know, the vocalists that I'm way into.
It's interesting how some of that is almost like a piece of COVID, right? Like,
yeah.
For me, I did so much listening during COVID where it was like, oh, I'm just going to listen to every Louis Armstrong record. It's not like I'm going anywhere for the next 3 months. I'm going to listen to every Miles Davis record. Same, you know, like I'm going on these deep dives. And it sounds like you were kind of doing the same. You know, you were taking advantage of that time.
I just listened to music. That's all I did. Yeah. I would literally put my headphones on and just listen. You know what I mean? Like when I was working, I'd have tunes going. You know what I mean? You know, when I'd be working out, it'd just be music. And it was always different stuff. Like, you know, literally, always, you know, I remember listening to Yob, you know what I mean? And then like right into like Talking Book, you know, by Stevie Wonder. You know, and then the next day, you know, it'd be like Allman Brothers into like Cypress Hill, you know what I mean? And then the next day, well, I'd be listening to like Iron Maiden into like Stephen Stills, Change Partners. So I just wanted to kind of immerse myself in music during that time. Because you couldn't leave the house, you know what I mean? You couldn't, you know what I mean? So why not? Like, yeah, I listened to so much music. Holy Christ. Like, I don't even know how many albums. It just a ton, you know? And I literally just like pop on Amazon Music and just hit, you know. I was listening to like a lot of early Genesis also. You know, I know what I like.
Like Nursery Crimes and stuff?
A little bit of that, you know, like Fifth and Firth, you know, things kind of, you know. I really like the way that Gabriel and Phil Collins, their voices would sound together. So that really gave me kind of like a kick in the, like, I love, like, you know, especially when they sing, like, I know what I like, you know what I mean? It's got to be Ethel. So stuff like that, I was just like, ah. That really, because people forget, like, that shit is so soulful, you know what I mean? I know what I like. So I was listening to, like, a lot of that. You know, so anything I thought, like, that was had, like, very intense melody in the harmonies, I was just really kind of just, you know, listening to as much stuff as possible. And you know, and I think that by doing that, it just, you know, I've always listened to music. But I think the amount of stuff I listened to, it really kind of opened me up to try different things. Because there's a lot of stuff on Remedy that, you know, I just wanted to kind of try, like on Rambo and those choruses. I don't really know where they came from. They just, somehow, they just kind of channeled out of me. You know what I mean? And I was like, did I fucking do that? So, you know, it, but it also helps having, you know, Doug, Joe, and Seth, and Dean really kind of be like, dude, let's try that. You know what I mean? Oh, that was kill. Can we do a harmony on top of that? All right, let's do another one. And can we, you know, can we do a one below that? Like, you know, I would send Dean songs and be like, dude, I love the production on this. I love the vocal melodies. You know what I mean? So him knowing that is just be like, all right, Gaff, let's try this. You know what I mean? And Doug is, you know, a plethora of that stuff too. He'd be like, dude, what if we do this? Like, you know, think so-and-so. So it just, again, you know, everyone was really kind of pushing each other, like, to do, you know, to do more than we've ever done, you know what I mean? And it was done in a way where everyone felt good about it. It wasn't like, oh, that was fucking terrible, you know, just forget it. It was like, dude, oh, man, do you think you could do that again? And then, okay, so let's do that three times. Let's do the above register three, you know what I mean? So it's just like, and then, okay, let's hit it with a lower one. And especially, you know, a lot of the, even like the oohs and ahs or things like that are very different on this album than any of the stuff we've done. Those are all really pretty heavy soul influenced stuff, you know, that we tried. Even like ba 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 ba, you know, even stuff like that. We're like, let's do it. You know what I mean? So yeah, we really kind of wanted to make this like the heaviest album, but also the most melodic album, you know, that we've ever done.
Another thing I want to talk about. You know, you and I had spoken a long time ago. You took a lesson with, I think, Chris Broderick, right?
Yeah, a couple.
And that kind of, like, opened a lot of doors for you musically. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so, you know, it kind of changed the way I thought about playing. Just the way to think about, you know, especially, you know, with your fingers and such. You know, and in this album, it's all tuned to B, you know what I mean? So it's the first album we, you know, did, you know, in B. I think Chris kind of opened up, like, something in me to really kind of explore the guitar, you know what I mean? To try different things, to try, you know, different spots on the guitar, you know what I mean? Play higher up on the neck, things like that. It also changed, you know, some of the way that, you know, some of the choruses and some of the riffs that I wrote, it definitely, you know, it helped with that because I was trying different things, but you know what I mean? So, you know, I think that, you know, it was the perfect time for me to do it. You know what I mean? We did a lesson. He was like, hey, can we do another? And I was like, yeah, I would love to. So, you know, that guy's probably one of the most amazing guitar players you know, and I obviously don't play like that or anything, but just how endearing he was, and how kind of he was also like, okay, man, let's try this, you know, let's do this. And, you know, just I think the fact that he was excited, you know, be like, okay, so you have no idea what you're doing. I was like, no. He's like, all right, cool, let's do another one. So I think, you know, just picking up a few things from him, knowing like different things, that helped a ton. And it made me want to try to do different things when I wrote. So, you know, that was pretty key. And that's all from, you know, Steph Cabral, his, you know, his girlfriend. So, you know, she was really the catalyst of that. And she made it all happen. So, you know, I have to thank her a bunch.
No, I mean, it's so cool when you can have these moments where you're just like, oh, there was a before and after for me, specifically revolving around this particular thing.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think it was one of those things, you know, you could just sit on the couch or you can, you know, try to better, you know, yourself and better what you do. And especially, you know, playing guitar, I just kind of woodshed it. And like, I just really kind of was like, all right, if I have this time, I would work out and I'd play guitar. Like that was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, and yeah, it definitely helped, you know. And so, yeah, I'm thankful, you know, that, again, like people being like, oh, yeah, man, let's do this. So I'm pretty lucky in that aspect.
Absolutely. Because your relationship with Doug goes back.
Oh, God. Oh,
years at this point?
Oh, gosh. 25?
Wow.
25 years? Yeah. Holy shit. Yeah. Yeah. 25 years. We're both in our 50s now. It's insane.
That's wild.
He's so older. He's older, yeah.
He's older? There you go.
Yeah,
he's so older. It's got to be, you know, to have that with him still has to be pretty special. Like that's a yeah. great creative partnership. You know what I mean? Like that's something you don't
get. Yeah. 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 It's kind of, you know, we're very kind of brotherly. Like we could definitely yell at each other. You know what I mean? And be like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Or he and I can kind of say different things, you know what I mean? To kind of get each other going. But yeah, it's just one of those things. You know, we write really, really well together. You know what I mean? He kind of gets what I do. I totally get what he does. You know, and we're both very different. Like his guitar playing and mine could not be any different, but together it works perfectly. You know what I mean? He's an amazing player, amazing soloist. You know what I mean? And I push him to be like, fuck, like, all right, man, let's do this. You know what I mean? So in that aspect, you know, I can really push him and he'll be like, all right, dude, let's try this vocally and things. So there's definitely that, you know, it's a lot of give and take, which is great. It's the comfort level.
Yeah, because he's more of like a theory guy, right?
Yeah.
That reminds me, I think it's Lamb of God, where I think Mark is a theory guy and Willie is not. I might have that background. But they also have that interplay where it's like, oh, one of them like knows stuff and the other is just like...
Totally.
And I think that's an interesting dynamic to have with two guitarists.
It's huge, yeah. It's definitely needed, you know what I mean? It's one of those things where... You know, his sound is way different than mine, and when they're together, that they work, you know, obviously really well. You know, when he's soloing and things like that, I love playing rhythm guitar. I love doing those riffs underneath it. Like, I've never been a guy who wanted to solo or things like that. I love playing rhythm guitar. I love it. I love the sound of it. I love the way it feels. So in that aspect, it's great because I can, you know, do things playing rhythm and different shit, you know, that I could try. And he's doing his thing, you know what I mean? And then Joe locks in so amazingly. So, you know, it's, yeah. And I really found, you know, playing, when your drummer has a groove, you know, like that, that's so infectious, it's really easy to play and sing over because everything's on the one, you know what I mean? So, you know, so there's that consistency when, you know, oh, I'm going to hit it here, you know what I mean? I'm going to hit it here. So in that aspect, you know what I mean? It's definitely four guys just really, really like working together. You know, it's almost like you turn on the motor and here you go, you know what I mean? So yeah, it is. But yeah, Doug and I have, it's one of those things. Yeah. When we write, we definitely are thinking about each other's strengths. You know what I mean? And like, you know, the tunes I write, I want to, you know, I'll be like, dude, hit this solo, you know, do this. And then same thing, you know, when he'll be like, okay, can you do this over this riff? Like, yeah, sure. So, you know, it's something where we're not afraid to ask each other. You know, even if it'd be like, ah, fuck, what did you do? Like, oh, I'm just trying something, you know what I mean? So it's definitely, there's a comfort, you know, there's a comfort level that's, I think, pretty evident.
That's really, really cool. As we wrap up, so then I guess the next thing is you're coming up on a tour.
Yeah. So the album officially drops on the 19th, which, you know, I'm really excited for it. And then, so our first show is at St. Vitus. Our last show is June 10th with Yob and Kaven, which is pretty amazing. You know, Kaven are kings here.
I pushed hard to help that come together.
Oh, right on. Thank you.
Yeah.
No. And obviously, you know, I'm a huge Yob fan, as you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think Mike is absolutely brilliant. You know what I mean? He's definitely one of those guys, you know, guitar playing and stuff like that is very, like, influential for me. You know what I mean?
100%. He's such a fascinating person and musician.
Yeah, he's an incredibly nice guy. He's one of those guys, like, you definitely root for, you know what I mean? That band is amazing. And he's one of the most down-to-earth, you know. Like, I'll ask him, like, questions like, hey, man, what did you use on that? I'll be like, oh, hey, guy, like, I use his pickups in this, you know, and it's amazing. You know, where other guys wouldn't give you the time of day, you know what I mean? It makes you love that band even more, you know? So, and we've, you know, done festivals and such with them, but this will be great, you know? The opening for them in Kaven will be amazing. And Kaven will, man, I mean, them in Boston is a pretty huge thing, you know? So that place will be bonkers. I mean, I think there was only like 20 tickets even left. I mean, it'll probably be sold out by tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it goes into an even bigger room.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just, you know, it's one of those things where it's kind of a privilege to play with those bands, you know.
How'd you end up with Ancient Days opening?
So that was all through Aaron, our booking agent. Aaron's amazing. He's one of those guys.
Is.
You know what I mean? Yeah, he's another guy that is super, super nice, but really on top of his game. And he just wants, you know, the people that he works with to do incredibly well. And, you know, he thought it would be good for those guys, you know, to do shows with us. And they were definitely down. So, yeah, you know, it's nice to have some young guys on the road with you. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited for those shows. It'll be nice too, to play the new stuff. You know, we did in Europe, but now, you know, it's so embedded into us.
Yeah. And people will know it.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So I'm really excited. And, you know, we'll pull out old stuff too. So we'll definitely play stuff off, you know, off five albums this time. So yeah, there's stuff from old, you know, middle and new. So if you've seen the band a bunch, we'll play stuff, yeah, off every album on this tour, which I'm excited to do.
Is there anything I should be asking before we wrap this up? Any questions you feel like I missed?
No, you hit it as usual, young man. Yeah, no, great job.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, of course, man.
All right, so that was awesome. Thank you, everyone out there, for listening to Delirious Nomads, sponsored by Blacklight Media. We will be coming back at you next week with another awesome guest. Be sure to follow Blacklight Media on socials for new music and more, and above all, keep it heavy.
Hey, this is Steve Choi, host of the Musicians Guild podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. Within the four walls of the Musicians Guild, we'll be discussing the habits, idiosyncrasies, experiences, and general psychology of my friends and peers all involved with music in various capacities. Listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com.
Hey, what's up? This is Blake Weiland. I'm the host of the Tone Mob podcast. It's a show where I interview guitar people about guitar stuff. We talk about their pedals, their amps, their accessories, their preferences, all that stuff, as well as a healthy dose of whatever comes up. Topics have ranged from aliens to addiction and anywhere in between. Oh yeah, and pizza. We're definitely going to be talking about pizza. So get the show wherever you're listening to this podcast at. Just search The Tone Mob in your search bar and it will pop right up. Come join us. We're having a lot of fun. Thanks for checking it out.